Well, it's been a fantastic first three games of the final series, and we've got Peter Peters on the line this morning to talk about it. Good morning, Zorban. Well, if you watched Friday night's game and you didn't like what you saw, don't watch another game of rugby league, because that was special.
Yeah, it certainly was. G'day, Ray. Morning, Mossy.
Morning, Zorba. Good to speak, mate.
Yeah, good to speak. Look, I'm still getting over Friday night. Storm 29 and South 28, but it was a match of the year. One of the best final games, I think, since the 1989 classic grand final between Canberra and Balmain Tigers. And it's no coincidence that referee Ashley Klein put his whistle away. You didn't even see the pocket referee in the game. I know there were two controversial decisions in the game, but they were both the result of touch judge errors, not the referee. And the first one was when Cody Walker appeared to go over the sideline. They ruled penalty to South. I didn't think that the tackle was completed there. And then there was a forward pass rule from Slater to Addo Carr, and Addo Carr was on the fly, haul back, and that was on a touch judge too. But for mine, Ashley Klein's gone to the top of the referee ratings. But back to the game, I mean, the lead changed five tries each in the game. And it was tries just before half time and just before full time, vital times for the Storm to beat a gallant South Sydney side. I thought the defence in the game was just rattling, and it was powerhouse defence from the start of the game, and everything about the game was just special. It flowed. Interesting, in the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s, there were very few Camerons in rugby league. The Storm have two. And how good are they? I mean, a Cameron in those years was really the school nerd. But Cameron Smith, another typical big game for him. But what about Cameron Munster? He kicked a clutch field goal to win the game, but his display throughout was just sensational. Super stuff. Souths were awesome in defeat. I thought Greg Inglis was just a colossus. Two fantastic tries, back to his best, inspirational leader. I wouldn't be surprised if these two teams maybe meet again. Felice Kaufusi, best on the field.
He's
and
fantastic,
to say that in an opposition where the Burgess boys are operating in a big game like that is saying something.
Yeah, interesting, Zorb. You've just mentioned some big names there across all the games, and that was the theme of the weekend for me. The likes of James Maloney, Smith, Slater, Munster, Cooper Cronk all stood up at the big moments, and that really is the difference in these big games.
No, it's a new competition, and the players that have been there and done it really stand up. And you mentioned James Maloney. In 2011, a long time ago, he was part of the grand final charge of the New Zealand Warriors. Last time that they made the grand final, the only time. And last night, the veteran number six ended for 2018 season for his old club by leading Penrith to that win. They were down 12-2 after 14 minutes. The Panthers then scored 25 unanswered points to win 27-12. And the Warriors, again, first side out of the finals. They always promise so much but never deliver. Good effort by the young caretaker coach. Another Cameron, by the way, Cameron Seraldo. For a couple of years now, he's been touted as a future superstar coach. He's a terrific young fellow. He's got a lovely family. He was a better-than-average player, but he's one of those players that was born to coach. And he's had great success in the 20s at Penrith. He's come through their ranks and I think he's going to be a special coach for a long time, but he's one game away from a grand final after a five-game NRL coaching career.
Yeah, it's interesting, Zorb, isn't it? I know in my code, you while we're talking about James Maloney, you look for young players coming through and what's next to them and how quickly they can accelerate their development. I spoke earlier about James Maloney and the effect he's had on young Nathan Cleary, and I think it's been immense this season. Your views?
Yeah, definitely. And I thought Cleary has been flat since Origin, and that's a tough thing for a kid his age to continue in the NRL competition, because there's no respite. As a matter of fact, it picks up. And, you know, he's in a vital position there, but he's lucky he's got Maloney alongside him to guide him through. And it's no coincidence that that Maloney is leading the side around the park, and Cleary's learning off him and getting better with every game. His goal-kicking improved under pressure, and it was a great win. And when you talk about those sort of players, you look at the Roosters, and they brought Cooper Cronk to the club to get them to where they've got, and that's one game away from a grand final now. I thought he was instrumental in a big way last night. His kicking game was vital to his team. He scored a try off one of his kicks, and then we saw Tupu score one as well. So they're looking pretty good, but I thought they were pretty lucky last night. The Sharks bombed three tries, and they actually set up and just were in the way of completing and didn't complete. That really cost them last night. I thought that they were perhaps a bit unlucky, but the Roosters did everything they needed to do to end up winning the game and go through and have a week off, which is going to be vital for them. I think they've got a big problem, though. I think Latrell Mitchell
I was going to ask you,
in real trouble.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Zorb, what's your take on that Latrell Mitchell incident?
Well, there's been players suspended for similar tackles, and they didn't look as bad as that one. One on Josh Dugan last night. It didn't look good. He's got carryover points from his last game, 70 carryover points. And I, even though that incident's not on report, I think it will be come today. And there's going to be a lot of people at the Roosters looking at what happens, if anything, to Latrell Mitchell. He was great again last night. Every now and then in his game, he has a little brainstorm. Now, that can happen to a young player, but he's just got to watch it. He's so vital. He's the goal kicker. He's their star try scorer. He does so much for that side. I wish him well, but I fear for the worst for him. Just on that game, I thought there was a vital incident. And while I'm rapping most of the referees, I can't rap the supposed number one, Gerard Sutton. He overruled Ben Cummings on an incident, or so they said in the commentary, and I'm pretty sure they got it right. But there was a dispute over a wasp ball and a tackle in the 55th minute when the Roosters led 14-12. Now, Townsend was tackling Jake Friend. Friend appeared to lose it. It didn't appear on the replay that Townsend touched the ball. Yeah. It was just a lost ball. The referees had a discussion, and it went the scrum feed to the Roosters. They subsequently scored a try and kicked away, won the game. Sutton's games don't flow. There's always stop-start. There's a lot more penalties when he's got the whistle than any other referee that we've seen in the last few weeks. And I just think that they need to look at it. Klein did a wonderful job on Friday night, and he's got to go to the number one position if they're judging them on performance.
It's refreshing, though, isn't it, Saul, that we can talk primarily about the football, not about the referees for once, which was great. Hey, Saul, before we get to the women's game, I know Phil wants to ask you about the Warriors versus Roosters women's game, but can I ask you about Mad Monday? What was your take on what happened last Monday, and what about the calls? I don't know how you can enforce it, but to ban Mad Monday celebrations.
Well, the clubs pay the players. They're their employers. If they don't want them to go and they just say you can't go, well, there's not much choice. I think it's got to the ridiculous stage of seeing grown men dress up as cartoon characters, as superheroes. And, I mean, boys, you're getting paid a lot to play the game you love. It's the best life that a young footballer can have. And if you want to get blind drunk, go in the middle of a property somewhere and have some fun together. But when it's out in front of the public, it's a problem. And the biggest problem I've got with the Bulldogs issue is that they've now lost a great sponsor in Jayco. Evidently, according to the boss of Jayco, no one from the club contacted him about what went on. Now, we're led to believe that officials were present, and indeed some reports that some officials were cheering players on. egging them on. It's not a good look. And a couple of those officials really should be before the board of the Bulldogs. I mean, Jayco have tipped in $500,000 a year for a long time. Mm. And that's a lot of money to make up. And whilst they've got a successful Leeds club that can chip in and pay, I think their officials, particularly their CEO, their coach, their footy manager, really should be up before the board and make some they've got some explaining to do. And not calling the sponsor, he's been quoted as saying that. That worries me greatly. The game can't afford that. It's not professional. It's a bad look.
Yeah, I've heard lots of commentary on it this week, Zorb. And at the end of the day, what's at the very heart of it is what makes someone take their clothes off in public and when they're high profile and got contracts to do what they're so passionate about doing and earn good money doing it. That's the bottom line. Behavior. But anyway,
it's a great life, Mossy. I mean, we'd have all wanted to be greater players than we were. I'm sure you're in the same boat as me. But, you know, we experienced what was a fabulous experience and a great way, if you're passionate about your sport, to earn somewhat of a living. And I just can't understand players that want to throw that away.
Yeah, that's right. Wind the clock back, actually. Zorba gave me some great advice. I don't know if you remember, Zorb, we had a beer just before I left the Manly Daily way back in the 90s. I was going to sign my first professional football contract, and he said, enjoy the highs because they're very, very high and the lows are very, very low.
Can understand that. Yeah.
There's no flat roads in professional sport.
Exactly, yeah.
No, there's not. And I remember it, Mossy, and you know what? It's something you cherished, and that's the way it's got to be.
Yeah, that's right. So, Zorb, moving on to the women's game now. We've got, obviously, in the round ball code, we've got the W League, we've got the women's AFL. The Matildas have made some real strides forward. And now there's the women's rugby league competition. Of course, women's sevens in rugby union put them on the map with the Olympic gold. This is a great move forward for rugby league.
Oh, it certainly is, and it's good to see rugby league moving along with the sevens. I watched the women's team train pre-Olympics at Narrabeen, and they're a wonderful group of girls, and they train hard. As a matter of fact, they train a lot harder than the men's sevens, and watching them train, I reckon they'd nearly beat the men's sevens. They're so good. But rugby league, I thought yesterday's game was a great spectacle. The defence was bone-shattering. Some of the girls from the Warriors really ripped in. And then the Sydney Roosters, who are a lot smaller, brought on some big players from the bench, namely Chloe Caldwell and Victoria Latu. And they really matched. It was only 2-1, and it could have easily been a drawn game. But terrific game of football. I think a great start to the women's game. I think it's the first step in a fantastic journey ahead for them, and I just think the game will grow with more women playing the game. It's fantastic across all sports, in Australian rules, in soccer. You mentioned the rugby sevens, and now in league, it's just fantastic. And full marks to Fox Sports, who are really showcasing women's sport, and I think it's going to grow. Empty stands when they kicked off at 3:05 yesterday, but it'll get bigger.
Yeah, that's right. And Fox Sports, you mentioned, Zorb, they're showing every W League game live this season as well, which is a huge step forward for women's sport as well. But Hilda Mariu will go down in the history books as the first ever try scorer in the NRL Women's Premiership. And that's just an example of being able to put their name up in lights. And as you said, history made yesterday. Now, I know with the rugby women's sevens, they went scouring the country for athletes who they thought they could turn into rugby players. And they did
a
pretty good job. Same with the AFL. Is that the route that rugby league has taken as well?
Well, it is in a smaller way, but there's been a core group of women playing the game now for some time, and there's a lot more that can come through, and I think we'll see it now. But you know, a lot of them play touch. They head up to Port Macquarie each year for the Touch Championships, and it's one step up from touch And I think that they're already primed and ready to go, and they'll look at what's going on. I mean, I already like watching some of the female rugby league players. Isabel Kelly is just a superstar. Her dad played lower grades, Kev Kelly, for Manly as a hooker. And I think we're going to see a lot of the daughters of players coming through, like we're seeing now. I understand Craig Coleman's daughter is a terrific touch player as well. So we're going to see them come through, and pretty quickly, I think.
Mm. Hey, so on to today's game, and Broncos versus the Dragons. The winner gets the opportunity to play South Sydney next week. The loser, it's all over for the season. Such a fascinating elimination final. Ben Hunt returning to take on his old teammates. Wayne Bennett trying to, again, make a statement with the Broncos. How do you see it, Zorb?
Well, I see the Broncos, you know, really winning this one and winning it quite clearly. The Dragons have got the shakes. They haven't been informed for the last 2 months. They've fallen over the line a couple of times in games they should have won easily. I think their forward pack is nothing like what it was earlier in the season when they were dominating. They're missing Paul Vaughan. DeBellin's carrying injuries. Frizzell is probably the only forward that is maintaining his early season form, and a lot's going to bank on him today. They've got Gareth Widdop back, and he's a superb player. I'm just not certain whether Hunt has got the confidence to go back. He will be under pressure from the Brisbane Broncos. You can bet your bottom dollar that Wayne Bennett's going to target him. He's had problems with his handling in big end of season games in recent years. I don't think his confidence can get him through what's coming his way today. I'm keeping a very clear Broncos win.
Have you got Dapper Zorb? The Lions 10.5. The Broncos are $1.28 head to head. The Dragons $3.75.
Yeah, I think I'll take the Broncos. Yep. 13 plus.
Fair enough. Hey Zorb, terrific as always. Very comprehensive, and the footy's been fantastic. The first three finals so far. Looking forward to the Broncos and the Dragons this afternoon, and we'll talk next week. Phil has.
I have to say something just before we depart, Zorba. I had a Zorba pizza last night from Alimento at Collaroy.
A Zorba pizza?
It's actually called the Zorba pizza in the menu.
Have you heard of that, Pete?
There's a couple of people that throw it out there. I'm actually I fancy a pizza, and I have had a couple from there, and I have had the Zorba pizza.
Is it any good?
Outstanding. Outstanding. I can still taste it this morning.
Hey, good on you, Pete. Look forward to this afternoon's game, and we'll chat next week.
Okay, stop eating me, Moss.
Good. See on you, Zorba.